BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today on this National Day of Prayer. As we take a look at our society, we continue to thumb our nose at God. Just yesterday, the House Judiciary Committee passed H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act, which is going to advance the LGBTQ plus agenda nationwide if passed. H.R. 5 is now going to go to the full House of Representatives for expected passage, and then to the Senate. We're just weeks away from the so-called gay pride celebrations taking place across our nation. Our disregard for human life also knows no end. Infanticide is now openly embraced by failing to give protections to babies surviving an attempt to kill it through abortion. Just recently in Texas, a teenage girl was just charged for repeatedly stabbing her newborn baby just minutes after the baby was born. You see, had it happened just minutes earlier, and a doctor would have dismembered the baby, in many states, that'd be okay. Yes, man's heart is continuously doing that which is evil in the sight of God, and sadly, we see churches today that are giving more time and attention to entertainment than to sound biblical teaching. Our guest today says, we're in deep trouble. Joining us on Crosstalk, we welcome Gary Cogg. Gary is the founder and director of Hope for the World. He is the a former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the Indiana state government. In 1987, he was invited to join the World Constitution and Parliament Association, one of the organizations involved at the forefront of promoting the world government agenda. Well, during his next 4 years, he obtained detailed documents that demonstrated the push toward a one-world government. He was active and that one-world government was rapidly advancing. Gary has warned about this and what's taking place, not only in places like the United Nations, but also what's happening here within our own nation as well. He's the author of a couple of books, En Route to Global Occupation and The New World Religion. Gary, so good to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
Jim, it's always good to be with you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, but though I'm really troubled as I look at your article talking about we're in deep trouble, and you just recently released this letter on this topic that you describe both the political landscape in which we are at currently as well as a spiritual landscape. And Gary, you indicated in that letter, in that newsletter, that you're quite disturbed and virtually at a loss for words. Describe this landscape that you see today.
Well, apart from what all of us can see on television on the evening news, where Democrats and Republicans are at each other's throats, representing two completely opposite worldviews, and we wonder where all of this is going. When we examine some of the things that have happened in our country from a moral standpoint, in the general populace, it is disturbing. We now have over 60 million babies who've been murdered, and the prospect of many more to come, as like you mentioned, even those not successfully aborted in the womb can now legally be exterminated after birth in some states. So we're going down a very dark path on that front. And then we have the whole situation with increasingly widespread acceptance of homosexuality and same-sex marriage. It is now acceptable and even celebrated to be gay, to be a homosexual. Regardless of what the Bible says, people are going in the opposite direction. Then you've got the production of literally thousands of pornographic films over the last few decades. Now they've become more easily accessible through the internet. You've got state-by-state legalization of mind-altering drugs like marijuana. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned in our letter, you know, that Mothers Against Drunk Drivers have had a lot on their hands for many years going after drunk drivers who've killed their children. And now we have to contend with disabled drivers who are whacked out on drugs legally. You know, I mean, it's just, it defies logic. It's as if common sense has been checked out at the door, and anything goes now. And when that happens, it creates an environment of lawlessness, and we're seeing that in our country today.
You know, we know the psychosis that happens with drugs like that. As a matter of fact, I just read a story earlier today how Washington, D.C. is looking at allowing not just possession of marijuana, but now are pushing for the ability to sell recreational use of marijuana just for common ordinary people to do that and to make it to proliferate throughout D.C., and we're seeing just such a strong push for this. We recently did a program on marijuana, but we're in some pretty big trouble, even just with that drug alone, not let alone all the other things that are going on with the opioids and certainly the heroin addictions and even harsher drugs as well.
No, you're right. And it's not a surprise about Washington, D.C., because if I recall, during the last national election, it went something like 85% ultra-liberal toward the left. And so I'm surprised Washington, D.C. has waited this long when you look at what Colorado and Washington, California, some of those other states are doing. So I wouldn't be surprised, of course, if all this is made legal in Washington, D.C., the next thing you know, you'll have our elected officials sitting in Congress smoking joints. I mean, it's almost laughable, but it's true. I mean, it could happen. It's the things that are happening today, every day I see at least one or two stories in the news that you ask yourself, did I hear right? Is this really happening in the United States? And, you know, we've been talking about this for years, Jim, and we knew things would get worse, but none of us know how far things will go before we actually go over the cliff and God brings judgment on this country. Mm-hmm. I personally believe, and mentioned this in my article, that through his remnant people, the Lord has held back the tide enough that we fortunately still have the freedom to speak and take a stand.
Yeah.
But how much longer will he wait for the citizens of our nation to repent and turn back to him? And that's the answer that only God knows. But I would encourage people, Christians, to get serious and take a stand and humbly seek the Lord and repentance.
And we'll certainly be delving further into that issue as well here, Gary. I know you also expressed some concerns as to what's happening on the college and university level and just the influence that's being placed upon this current generation.
Yes, the far left has been able to make a lot of headway, especially over the last 10 to 12 years, with the help of college students. All the numbers that I've seen have shown that about 70% of college students coming out after graduation would vote pretty far left. And if you've got 2/3 of college-educated millennials embracing a leftist anti-Christian worldview and pushing socialism, you know, how much longer is it going to take until overall the left becomes a majority? Right now, conservatives, I figured roughly, are losing 1 to 1.5% per year. And that's because we've got more and more of these young, pretty liberal kids coming out of college on the one hand, but the more conservative, baby boomer generation and World War II era generation, in other words, those over the age of 55, they're dying off, and it's seen in our own ministry, Hope for the World. When we started out, most of our supporters and prayer partners were roughly 45 to 65, 70 years old. Well, now, 27, 28 years later, those same people, most of them are over the age of 70. And so we're getting a notice almost every week, certainly a couple every month, of people going home to be with the Lord. And they're receiving their reward in heaven today. But as far as ministries like ours are concerned, who are trying to toe the line, it's getting more and more difficult because the younger generation on the whole is not as committed to biblical principles. Even those who are Christians, generally speaking, aren't willing to go as far as our generation did. So it is a huge hurdle to overcome, and that's why we really need to do everything we can to reach our young people for the Lord and to challenge them to a deeper level of commitment and obedience.
Gary Kaa is with us here today. He's founder and director of Hope for the World. Gary, I know you have also in the same article expressed some real concerns for what is known as the deep state. Share that concern with us.
Well, you've got the cabinet level departments, and since around the late 70s, there has been a strong push to get bureaucratic left-leaning socialists into that bureaucracy in Washington, and they've really done an incredible job of doing so. So for President Trump to come in after several decades of left-leaning bureaucrats going to work for the State Department, the Justice Department, Treasury, all these different cabinet-level departments, you know, for him to drain the swamp, as he calls it, it would take somewhat of a miracle, and it would take more than 10 years to really do that. I mean, he has just scratched the surface. And so my concern is this. As President Trump and those around him and some of the conservative investigators now begin to unravel what has just taken place over these last 2 years, which really was nothing less than a coup attempt against the president, as this thing begins to unfold over the next 2 months or so, how will the left react? If they realize they're being seriously threatened and that there could be jail time for some of these people, including former leaders of the CIA and FBI and so forth, how far would the deep state be willing to go to keep that from happening? In other words, would they attempt to create some type of national crisis to detract attention from it, and that they are not fully investigated, or at least not tried and put in jail? When you consider how many thousands of bureaucrats that are in Washington, D.C., and who are part of this deep state, we call it the deep state because it runs deep. In other words, if President Trump has the top heads of each of these departments loyal to him and upholding our Constitution, and maybe the person underneath them, but what if you go 3, 4, 5, 6 steps deep under them? It increasingly becomes socialistic. And so if the president has his back against the wall and were to declare a martial law type of situation, for example, who really would be in charge? Does he have enough clout? Has he drained the swamp enough that he has enough solid leaders around him that they would be able to run things? Or would all of this bureaucracy be kicked into effect and be running the show, and we head into a socialist state? And if you want to know how that turns out, all you have to do is look at Venezuela today.
Yeah.
You know, not too good.
Right, right. A lot of chaos going on. And, I mean, even as we speak, Gary, the protests that are going on, the battle between socialism and the capitalist mentality, I mean, they were just back and forth, and the outcome is still rather uncertain, as we see, you know, the likes of Cuba and certainly Russia have interest in this as well.
Absolutely, and we're very close to the people in Venezuela. We've got at least 3 tight connections with people, including my wife's best friend is married to a gentleman from Venezuela, and his family is really having a hard time of it. He's doing what he can to help.
We're going to be back in just 1 minute. Gary Kaa is our guest today from Hope for the World. And yes, folks, we're going to have hope. We're going to give some solutions to this. Keep tuned. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, we see right-to-life efforts all over the news these days. What does the Bible say about this?
Chris, the Bible is clear. Humankind is created in the image of God with great value and worth in His sight, and is to be respected and protected. At conception, the embryo takes on human status, although not yet completely grown. The Bible discusses how the growing embryo as an individual has feelings and on some occasions even expresses itself. When a pregnant woman was injured in Bible times, such that the baby lost its life, there were consequences to be faced. The Bible doesn't give us all the details, but there's enough there to be certain that the unborn child is a viable human person and must be protected. Chris, the Back to Genesis way of thinking helps us understand modern issues.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
in Deep Trouble. That's the title of our program today with special guest Gary Ka, founder and director of Hope for the World, and first of all, describing in brief the chaos that we're in today, not only here as a U.S., but around the world as well. And Gary, I know we're watching as to what is unfolding in Venezuela. We understand that it looked like their national head was possibly was going to leave or step down until, Mike Pompeo says Russia convinced him otherwise. And so the chaos continues to unfold in a nation that's at war with really the citizenry versus the Maduro government.
Yes, actually, China has had the greatest influence there over the last 5 or 6 years. They are pretty much in charge now of the infrastructure in that country. They've built much of it and are making the reparations and maintaining it. But Russia, not to be outdone, came in a little bit later, but in a very strong way. And they're having quite an influence behind the scenes now, propping up Maduro. Cuba all along has been a close ally. But this goes back, you know, to Chavez, of course, I met a pastor at a pastor's conference I spoke at in Guatemala City 2 years ago, and while I was sharing, he looked very interested. I didn't know who he was at that moment, but he looked like he was someone important. He just had that look about him. Early 70s, very well fit and distinguished looking. Well, afterwards, he came up to me and through an interpreter asked if he could have a meal or dessert with me, and I said, of course, and so we sat down, and I came to find out, and this is a shocking story, I came to find out that he was the military commander who initially was responsible many years ago of training Hugo Chavez. Chavez was one of his students. Since that time, this man became a Christian and a very solid believer, and I wouldn't have had any reason to believe him except that the 20 or so other pastors who were there from 10 different countries verified the fact that he is who he says he is. And he proceeded to share with me some details about Chavez that were extremely disturbing. And it kind of gives you more insight into socialism. You know, we think that these socialist dictators are atheists, but it turns out Chavez was extremely superstitious. According to this gentleman who I met in Guatemala City, he said that Chavez kept a human size skeleton, an actual skeleton that he had hung in a nook in his office. And from time to time, he would go to that skeleton and meditate and believe that he would be imbued with basically what I would describe as occultic power and influence. He believed that he would take on the mantle of a famous Spanish conquistador from a couple of centuries ago. And so this guy was into weird stuff, and when Castro would come and visit him, which he did on a regular basis, according to this gentleman, they would actually bathe in blood. You get the image of like a hot tub type of situation, and I don't think he said if it was animal or human blood, I can't remember if he did, but they would literally bathe in blood, believing that would somehow empower them. Again, this is bizarre stuff. I mean, the kind of stuff that, you know, Halloween movies are made of. Mm-hmm. And that's what these dictators are into. They're really given over to a demonic spirit, pure and simple. And now Maduro believes that he has taken up that mantle. And so these people won't hesitate to kill if that's what they have to do to stay in power, especially if they're, if they're egged on by Russia, backing them up. Maduro will only step down as a last resort when it becomes clear he has to do so to save his hide. So these next few days and weeks are very critical in that country. And just one other example I want to give you. Our doctor, when we're in Costa Rica, she came from a German Jewish background, and her father was a prominent heart surgeon in Venezuela. And one day when she was in medical school in Venezuela, I believe this was in a predominantly Jewish classroom. Someone came in from the government while the professor was teaching the class, pulled out a pistol, and shot him in the head in front of the whole class, point-blank range. And so after that incident, the father, the heart surgeon, told his daughter, we need to get out of here now while we can. And so they moved to Costa Rica and set up practice there. But her sister is caught in Venezuela now, caught in jail, but she's trapped. She can't get out right now. And so a lot of families are being affected by this. Those who got out a few years ago, they fared pretty well. But those who waited and waited and thought nothing's, things aren't going to get any worse, are really in a difficult situation now. So we need to pray for these people, especially today on this National Day of Prayer. While we remember our nation, we need to be praying for the people in Venezuela right now.
Gary, you've warned about chaos. You've commented that evil forces are hoping for an economic collapse. And you also talk about U.S. crisis, or a crisis to develop. But we can't spend a lot of time here, but are there desires for a crisis solely within the United States or for a global crisis to take place?
Well, both, really. If they can't do one within the, pull one off within the United States, maybe they would try to set off a global crisis. But there are a number of people who are on record openly as saying, you know, the best thing that could happen to get Trump out of office is an economic collapse. You've even had some late night comedians saying they're hoping for an economic collapse, you know, if that's what it takes to get Trump out of office. And then you have this border crisis, which Venezuela again ties in with this. The waves of illegal immigrants have at least been partly funded by Venezuela. This thing is an organized effort to try to swarm our borders. And Venezuela has gotten financial help from Iran, including soldiers. The source I mentioned earlier that I met in Guatemala City, he's the one who told me that there were Iranian troops in Venezuela and they were doing a lot of the dirty work for Maduro. And he knew that for a fact. So, you know, this encompasses the entire globe. You've got Iran giving money to Venezuela so they can manipulate our border crisis. I wouldn't be surprised if Russia and China are in on it as well, although I don't have any evidence of that. I believe one reason President Trump is trying to tighten the restrictions on Iran is because he understands that they're helping Venezuela. So our border crisis, what I'm getting at is that what's happening now in our southern border, that's contrived. That's not by accident. It's not a coincidence. And if only 5 or 10% of the people coming in are criminals or potential terrorists, we've got an enormous problem on our hands. I mean, we really are getting close to the point where we need to seal off the border. I think President Trump is doing the appropriate thing. He's trying to build a wall. He's trying to do everything he can. But the Democrats in Congress have been thwarting his every effort. And you have to ask, what side are they really on? A lot of these people are coming dangerously close to being traitors. And I understand that's a big word to use and treason, but when you look at what's been going on over the last 2 years, we have a president who, thank God, is trying to defend our constitutional republic and is trying to shore things up, doing what he can to defend our borders. And you have other people doing everything possible through sanctuary cities and even helping the criminals while threatening to prosecute those who are turning them in California, which again defies all logic and reason. It's almost unbelievable. But this is the reality in our nation today. This is where we're at, in a state of chaos.
Indeed. And Gary, as you've described that chaos in brief, you go into more detail into your actual report. But, you know, when we talk about the murder of the innocent, the unborn babies, and we talk about the acceptance of homosexuality, same-sex marriage and the like, and even what we're seeing, this Equality Act advancing, the pornography industry, the mind-altering drugs and marijuana proliferation taking place, the pushing of immoral values, people entering our nation with evil intent. And as bad as all these things are, you actually indicate, though, that the real root of our problem is spiritual. And as such, you've got some real concern for our spiritual state.
Absolutely. Political upheaval is only the superficial threat facing our nation right now. And as you mentioned, the real root is of our problems is spiritual.
Do you believe are we ripe for judgment in this spiritual state?
I believe we're getting very close. I believe, in a sense, God has begun to judge the nation, although it's nothing like what it could be. And that's how our loving Lord operates. He tries to get our attention and turn up the heat. But eventually, if people don't respond, he lifts his hand of protective covering, just like he did with the ancient Israelites. He says, okay, if you don't want me, I'm going to remove my hand of protection, And then we all know what happens when that's the case. It allows our enemies to overrun us, and a country falls, and that way is judged. We should not be so proud as a nation that we think it cannot happen here, that we somehow have a special connection with God because we've had many Christians over the years doing great things around the world for the Lord. But you consider where we're at as a nation right now and how rapidly we've declined in the last 50 years. I'm not sure if there's another example in history where a nation has gone from operating essentially under a Judeo-Christian ethic to where we are today this quickly. Maybe there is one, but I can't think of any right now. And so if not for the remnant believers out there who have been taking a stand and have been praying, I think we would have already experienced God's judgment. But thanks be to God. You know, there is an effort underway politically, spiritually, to try to turn the tide. But it begins with repentance. Without repentance, things aren't going to significantly change. And repentance has to begin within the church. When you look at how so many churches have gone really off the deep end, I mean, what they're teaching now, if they're presenting the gospel at all, it's a watered-down gospel. And so people aren't being convicted anymore of their sin, and they're not being convicted and challenged to walk closely with the Lord, humbly and in a contrite spirit. And so you've got a positive thinking message that has taken over, and many professing Christians think of themselves almost as mini gods. You know, the focus is on them rather than on God, seeking God on our knees and prayer and repentance. And so until that changes, we're moving down the wrong path, and it's a very dangerous, slippery slope.
Gary, as you've described just the state of our, you know, political affairs and moral affairs and even spiritual affairs, is it too late for this repentance to take place?
No. I believe if there's a genuine sackcloth and ashes repentance, as I call it, like what took place in Nineveh, I believe God would still intervene and push things back. He is very capable of doing that. And God's ultimate desire is, it's always redemptive. His judgment isn't because he wants to come against us and destroy us. He only does that as a last resort when people have been given over to their own wickedness and sin and have repeatedly denied God. And so if we look at what, you know, the Lord said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I believe it applies to us today as well as it did with the ancient Israelites. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. He will not turn his face from you if you return to him. And throughout the Bible, if you look, there are a lot of ifs. As I wrote in my letter, and after the break, we can maybe touch on some of those. But yeah, Much of this right now depends on how we respond to the Lord's call.
Gary Cobb with us here today on Crosstalk. Our topic is simply, we're in deep trouble, and we're talking about the solution to that trouble, folks. Begins with repentance. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a co-worker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5, or 5 copies for a donation of $18, 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and yes, even on this National Day of Prayer, talking about the real heart of what needs to happen to this nation. But it begins within the church, begins in the home, begins in individual hearts. Gary Kaw with us today. Our topic, we're in deep trouble. And Gary, as that second break came upon us there, you were indicating about the ifs in the Bible. So let me have you pick up with that issue.
Yeah, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, you know, the Lord rebuked five of the seven churches in Asia Minor. And of those rebukes, the two most severe ones were leveled against the churches in Sardis and Laodicea. And people can read that for themselves in their Bibles in Revelation 3, verses 1 through 3, and then 15 through 17. It's very sobering because he was speaking here to people who were professing believers, Christians. Now, the good news was and is this. After delivering his stern warnings to those most wayward churches, Jesus went on to offer them hope if they turned from their disobedient ways and once again passionately followed him. So Jesus' main message aimed at the church is repent and be overcomers. And I would say that God loves us all immensely. He sent his son to pay the penalty for our sins so that we would not be condemned to hell, but instead would have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
If we repent and believe in Jesus as our Savior. So eternal life in heaven is not something automatic. And if you pray a simple prayer, believing in Jesus, and then you continue to live like the devil and really don't establish a relationship with the Lord, then there's really a right to question, are you truly saved? Are you really a Christian? Do you really believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And if so, why aren't you following him? And so there's that whole element. Repentance has been left out of the equation these days, by and large. And the ifs in the Bible are, if we repent and believe, that represents a turning point in our lives where we go from being part of the world and wanting to sin to living under the mindset of wanting to be obedient to Christ and pursuing the Lord. And I'm not talking about a works-based gospel here either. I don't want to be misunderstood on that. But we need to differentiate between people who profess to be Christians, which is over 70% of the country. And you and I both know, Jim, if 70% of this country were true Christians, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in
now. You're right.
You know, it's probably closer to 5 or 10% or something like that. And so that's why we need to get serious as individuals and as a nation and really follow and walk with the Lord in a close personal relationship and in a spirit of repentance.
And Gary, also in your article, you make a very urgent plea for people to come to Christ now. That's really more than just words. You really believe this, don't you?
Absolutely. If people don't accept the Lord now, you know, how difficult do things have to get before they take the call seriously? I mean, when you look at what's going on in our world and how the end-time Bible prophecies that we've talked about over the years are right on the brink of being fulfilled, and we're moving in this direction with global government being thrust upon us. The Pope recently addressing the World Government Summit in Dubai by video address. I mean, you can't make some of this stuff up. 30 years ago, people wouldn't have believed it if I would have said we would be at this point. And now we are. These are the signs of time, the times in front of us. And so people need to accept the Lord now and come to repentance and walking closely with him. And in our letter, we lay out the plan of salvation very clearly and why people need to come to the Lord. And, you know, in Acts 4:12, Peter, speaking in Jerusalem, said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.
Yeah.
And Jesus in John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. So either Jesus made this up and he was a liar, or he really is who he claimed to be. And when you look at the record and the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, and one evidence after another, I have to believe that he was telling the truth, and he is my Lord and Savior, and I hope that you make him your Lord and Savior as well.
Amen. Amen. Friends, we're opening our phone lines here. If you'd like to comment, maybe you've got a question for Gary Ka. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. Gary, we've referenced this letter, this column, this article that you've written here in, we're now in May, but authored it not long ago here in April. We're in deep trouble. This is available for people to go to your site and download it, read it for themselves, correct?
That's right, yes. You can go to our website, which is just my name, GaryKaah.org, and that's GaryKaah.org. And then on our homepage, off to the right side, you'll see recent articles listed. You can click there on We're in Deep Trouble and read this, and also our last couple of major articles. I think you'll be blessed by them, and we urge you to pass them on to friends, and also to become a subscriber so that you can receive these quarterly research news journals that we've been putting out now for, I think, 25 years. This year is our 25th year. And so help us get the message out.
Okay, again, that's GaryKaah.org, and Ka is spelled K-A-H. Gary, G-A-R-Y, Ka, K-A-H. .org, and you'll find it there. We're going to the phone lines here today with Gary as our guest and taking your comments. We're going to begin in South Dakota. Wayne, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hi. I read a book. I can't remember what his title was, but of Gary's years ago, and he's truly a watchman on the wall. We need more people like him in America to warn us what's going on. Comment I wanted to make was, you know, when I think of the brave young men that fought and died, went through the hell of World War II that they did to preserve our freedoms for us, and now we're on the verge of handing those freedoms away. And it's just crazy that we've gotten to this point, but we have, unfortunately. And the thing that maybe almost was more significant than anything, when the New York legislature stood and applauded and clapped when they passed that law to basically make infanticide...
In New York, yeah.
It's like, wow, that just... When I thought, we've got that point now, the end might be in sight for us.
Yeah. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you so much. Gary, are we at that point? What is it that's causing us? I mean, we see countries that have gone down this path before, and you know, you used Venezuela as an example to us. Are we just duped? Are we just deceived that there's some new blessing or promise that will come from the likes of socialism or come from the likes of killing the innocent, the unborn? What's causing us to go down this path?
Well, as a whole, we've simply turned our backs on God as a nation, as a whole. But it wasn't by accident. If you go back, there's a history behind this. If you go back to the early 1900s when some of the major foundations were created, some of the Rockefeller Carnegie foundations, they began to fund the textbooks, the creation of textbooks, some of the education unions. They were able to gain control gradually over some of the teachers' colleges that put out university presidents. And so by the 50s, this impact was beginning to be felt. In fact, when the State Department was founded around the World War II era, it was stacked with liberals right from the get-go. So that was one of the departments that from early on has been predominantly composed of liberals with a one-world, more socialist view. And if you look at the Charter of the United Nations from the beginning, its goal ultimately was to be a type of world government. And the only way to bring that about is to force it on people or gradually seduce them into going for it. And so they put out all these arguments for why we have to have a world government. For example, if the world becomes disarmed, countries can't fight each other anymore. Well, that sounds good on the surface, but what about the world government that now has all the weapons? You better hope that whoever is in charge is a good guy, because now there's nowhere left to run and hide if the world government comes at you, because they are the world police force. The same thing with a single global currency in a cashless system. It's always foolish to put all of your eggs into one basket and to get rid of a system of checks and balances that our founding fathers so wisely designed, I believe, under the supervision of the Lord. And that's why we've been so incredibly blessed in this country over the years. My parents, they fled from Europe during World War II, yeah. or right after World War II, actually. My father fled from the Nazis and the communists. My mother grew up under Hitler in Germany. They met after the war and came to this country to get a fresh start because they were done with Europe. They didn't want any part of, you know, the type of socialism that was gaining a beachhead over there. And so they came to this country. And my mom, before she had her major strokes and before she died, said, I went through this once in my life. I didn't think I'd witness it again.
She
saw what was happening in this country being so similar to the things taking place in Europe leading up to Nazi Germany.
We've got to get back to the lines here. Let's go to Fabrizio in Milwaukee. Go ahead, Fabrizio. You're on the air.
Well, thank you so much, Jim and Juan, for the blessing. I thank God so much for the blessing of ECY America and how challenging, convicting this message is. And my prayer for today is that, as you mentioned, how old, godly young men and women that seek the Lord wholeheartedly, whether behind closed doors or publicly, that I just pray that God would bring more young men and women, even younger than me. I'm only 27, but it's a blessing to be in church and be around young, godly men and women that are seeking wholeheartedly to devote their lives to ministry. And we, if it's any day and age we live in today, we need more young men and women that are getting a hold of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is getting a hold of them, and that they'd embrace that calling.
Amen.
And, you know, 1 Peter 2:24 tells us that Christ died for us, that we might be dead unto sin, but alive unto righteousness.
Amen.
It's time to get serious. It's really time to get serious. It's very heartbreaking what's happening to a country that used to love the Lord. And
Amen.
We need to really fall on our faces here as believers and get serious. And
thank you, Fabrizio.
Ask God to have mercy when we deserve nothing but His wrath.
As a 27-year-old, your call is a real encouragement to us. And we'll
it
pray
is.
That others like you, and as you say, younger yet, we'll come to that same conviction of heart and the need to be serious about our relationship with Christ. What a blessing. Thank you, Fabrizio. John in Kentucky, you're on the air. Hello, John.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Question. I've listened to your program quite often and agree with most everything on it, but I know you said that you guys did a topic on marijuana. I would like to know how to get in touch with somebody to see that or whatever.
Yeah, it's right on our website, crosstalkamerica.com, crosstalkamerica.com, and just in the where you see the little magnifying glass, type in the word marijuana, and you'll find programs. We did the program just about a week or so ago here on the program, and you'll find it there, as well as links to take you to other sites that will help you.
Okay. Well, I grew up around all kinds of different people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that I know that were diagnosed with some kind of problem, they give them, like, pain pills.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw so many people die from this.
Yeah, and the opioid crisis is huge. The abuse of painkillers is huge. John, we'd encourage you to go. We've dealt a couple programs, specifically the full hour on that issue. Check it out at crosstalkamerica.com. I'm up against a break. Back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. President Donald Trump has declared April 28th to May 5th Holocaust Remembrance Week. So, my friends, we're in Holocaust Remembrance Week. And yet, sadly, over this past weekend, there has been another synagogue shooting, this time in San Diego, California, and one person has been killed. Many more would have been killed, according to news reports, if the gunman's firearm had not jammed. This, of course, follows the deadliest synagogue shooting in American history in 2018, in which 11 were murdered in their synagogue. This week, we will hold our national conference at Lake of the Ozarks, and the theme, Holocaust Horizon. We've been promoting it for a year, and we said by the time the conference arrived, this would be the big news story. And here we are. How do we know this? Because we study the trends. And this trend is going to increase, and the Bible says so. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
Gary Ka is our guest here today on Crosstalk. He is the founder and director of Hope for the World. And, folks, you can read the column that we're discussing today, We're in Deep Trouble, simply by going to his website at GaryKa.org. That's K-A-H, GaryKa.org. Back to the phone lines. Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. In Revelation 2, Jesus is talking to the church at Smyrna, and he mentions the blasphemers, and he's talking about Jews who say they are Jews but are not, and they're of the synagogue of Satan. And now we fast forward to today. By the same token, we've got people that call themselves Christians and Christian pastors but are not. And they belong to churches of Satan. We know this because they're accepting sodomy and the transgender myth, and they're accepting socialism and even the evangelical immigration table, where they agree not to give out the gospel and then take a government bribe to spread burdensome indigent invaders throughout our country. People, if you're in one of these things, get out. The Bible says, come out from them and touch not the unclean thing. So run like the wind.
Thank you, Brad, for sharing that. And Gary, let me have you comment about this. I'm going to boil down in just a few words what he said, wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yes. The church as a whole has become so much like the world, really, that in many congregations one can barely tell the difference. And you've got, a majority of American pastors that have catered to political correctness to such a degree that they've, are they really even Christians anymore? You have to look at what they stand for and what they're preaching and teaching, and it's not the Bible. And so then you have to ask, are they really Christians? And I would say many of them are not. And you look at the World Council of Churches, member denominations, and almost across the board, they've moved toward interfaithism, mm-hmm. and many of them supporting same-sex marriage and everything else that's wrong according to Scripture. They're behind, and many of them, they're afraid of losing their 501c3 tax exempt status, I think, and so they're trying to bend over backwards to be politically correct, and in doing so, they've moved out of step with the Lord.
And Gary, I mean, just to echo what you said here, we just go to, for instance, I just called up the website for the Wisconsin Council of Churches, and to the very first thing we see there is, to our Muslim neighbors, Blessed Ramadan. I mean, this whole interfaith dialogue that's taking place, it is that which is totally estranged from what the teachings of Scripture really are.
Yeah, we no longer recognize the uniqueness of Christ, that it was his blood and his blood alone that atoned for our sins. It has, there's no other pathway to God other than through the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us. And if people believe anything else, they're going to be terribly disappointed when they stand before their Creator someday.
Yeah.
I've said before, if all other religions are pathways to God, then why in the world would God have sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and pay the penalty for them, because everything would have been just fine as it was.
Yeah.
And Hinduism goes back 2,000 years before Christianity, Buddhism about 500 years before Christ. He had all the ancient mystery religions, and yet God called the Israelites out from those false religions because they were demonic in origin. And today, any religion that teaches something other than the fact that Jesus is our only hope for salvation is not grounded in truth. And that's a bitter pill for a lot of people to swallow, but that's the truth, and that's where the battle is being fought today.
Let's go to David in Charleston, Illinois. David, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I had my quiet time this morning, and I read in Psalm, not in Psalm, but Nehemiah, chapter 7 and verse 8 and 9, and I'd just like to share with the people and just share what kind of the Lord shared with me. One thing he shared with me was that at the Watergate, I find the Watergate is a place where God is, and that's a God where you ask for a drink, he gives you a thirst, you ask for it. It's a gate of refreshment. And God's going to restore this country. I really believe that. And I really believe, as I read on about how we're to read the Word of God and how we're to cry out and how I thought that the brother shared with us in Chronicles how we're to repent.
Yes.
And also I remember God says he will tell the angel, hold his hand back and do not destroy Jerusalem. So I just kind of had some promises in that, and I'm praying, and we had a wonderful time in Charleston here praying at the under the flagpole, about 16 of us asking
amen.
For God to, pardon?
I just gave you an amen, David. Thank you for the call. We're almost out of time. I'm going to squeeze one more call in, and that's Mike in Milwaukee. Mike, you're on the air.
Thanks for the information and motivation. Was down with at the World Parliament of Religions in the 90s with my twin brother and his wife. He had a Jesus head on the Dalai Lama, not, but we tried to get out the gospel in a mass way, mass literature to those people. And I was wishing that the people from Moody and the other Bible institutes were there, but hardly anyone was there.
Mm-hmm.
Except us. Number two, the churches in the school districts need to go to that school district of the areas and find out what they're teaching on human development to hold back the bad literature and filth. And number three, you know, capturing a town for Christ, Jerry Falwell. Millions of pieces of literature, door-to-door phone, and he took a town and grew a big Liberty Bible Institute. God bless you.
Thank you, Mike. Indeed, the proliferation of the gospel needs to take place. Gary, we have just a minute left. What would you like to leave with the listeners today?
Well, I would say our young people especially, they're being pounded through the public schools with this education curriculum that is very socialistic in nature and anti-patriotic. And God is presented in a negative light, if at all. And so that's what we as Christians are up against. And we really need to pray for our young people and go after them. And we need to walk uprightly before the Lord and not be hypocritical, because if we practice one thing, I mean, if we preach one thing and practice another, they're not going to follow us. So we have to be worthy of being followed. And so that's the clarion call for professing Christians to walk their talk while they're trying to reach others for Christ. And meanwhile, crying out to the Lord, asking him for more time and for forgiveness and just walking a walk of repentance. I think that's my main message today on this National Day of Prayer, is for us all to get on our knees, cry out to the Lord, and ask him to help us and intervene in our situation in this country, because unless he does so, we're running out of time.
Gary Kaa, our guest here today, and folks, check out his website. Read the article for yourself, GaryKaa.org. Kaa is spelled K-A-H. GaryKaa.org. Gary, as always, thanks for being with us here today and just sharing your heart with our listeners.
Thank you, Jim.
And folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.